I told Darren that there was not going to be a song after the children's message and before the sermon. And I told him that, and I said, if I forget and I don't stand up, kick me. He's all too eager to kick me. This is Trinity Sunday. I'm sure you all had that on your calendars, got your Trinity Sunday cards out, and your Trinity Sunday meals all prepared. I'm sure you do. I have no doubt in my mind. It is one of the least observed holidays on the Christian church calendar. And I guess there's probably a number of reasons why that is. Probably the number one reason is because preachers don't like to preach on the Trinity, because you don't want to sit here and listen for 2 hours while I try and explain the Trinity to you. But I'm going to try and do it nonetheless in a short period of time. Or it might not feel like a short period of time to all of you, but it will be compared to what I need to do. And so I want us to look at the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, the 12th through 15th verses, these words that Jesus spoke. He said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. In our Presbyterian form of government, there are these principles that we use that have been a part of our form of government for over 400 years now. And these principles are just kind of the underpinnings of how it is that we work together and we live together as Presbyterians. And one of those underlying principles is one that simply states, God alone is Lord of the conscience. Now, this as a Presbyterian principle was very important for us in the time of the Reformation, because what it served to do was to remind the people that there is not anyone over us who can speak for us or speak to us in an authoritative way. That each of us in our own hearts and in our own minds and our own lives have to discern the work of the Holy Spirit in our understanding of what it means to be a Christian day in and day out. More simply put, it was a way of thumbing our nose at the Pope. That we did not believe in popes, we did not believe in bishops, we did not believe in that hierarchy, that we believe that through the gift of the Holy Spirit, each heart, each life can be in touch with God's hopes and desires for each of us. Well, it's a wonderful principle, this principle that God alone is Lord of the conscience. And it is a valuable one that it does still belong to us and is still a guiding principle for our understanding of how it is that we live and work together as a Christian community. But the problem with it is this, is that sometimes people see it as a license to do what they want to do, a license to say what they want to say. Because what in reality happens oftentimes is that we reverse things and we say that our conscience alone is God. That we start to think that as long as we feel that it's the right thing, as long as we feel it's a good thing, then it's the right thing to do and the right thing to say. Well, herein lies the problem in that. Sometimes we don't listen to the deepest part of our consciences. Sometimes we're more concerned with our own self-interest. Sometimes we're more concerned about how we feel than how the Spirit is leading us. Sometimes our own self-interest takes us off the path and gets us in a different place than where we ought to be. But this passage from John, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples toward the end of his earthly ministry, he's trying to get across to them that there is a consistency in the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit brings to us what is of Jesus. And Jesus brings to us what is of the Father. And so that there is that consistency, and here's where I start to try and explain the Trinity to you. Are you ready? Got your seatbelts on? I'm not going to explain the Trinity to you in 2 minutes or less. But the three parts, God in three persons, is inevitably and indubitably consistent. That each part of the Trinity is a way of elucidating the other part. And so the Holy Spirit in our lives is never going to lead us to do something or to say something or to be something that is contrary to what Jesus exemplified for us. And Jesus never did anything in his life other than to reveal to us the person and desires of God the Father. There is that inner consistency that takes place. And see, we sometimes forget that and we allow ourselves to become part of the Trinity and to shape the Trinity in a way that isn't where it's supposed to be. We kind of have that desire to kind of take charge and say what we want to say and to do what we want to do and then to in some way add a benediction to it and say that this is of God. When we have wandered from what we know about Jesus Christ, what we know about God, what we know the Holy Spirit is really teaching us to do. I always love the quote that Karl Barth once said. He was a German theologian of the past century, one of the most brilliant minds ever to walk this planet. But Karl Barth once said, "Just because a human being says something in a loud voice, it doesn't make it the Word of God." And we seem to be living in a day and age where we are always experiencing people with loud voices talking over each other. If you ask me why I spend very little time on Facebook anymore, it's because there's all these loud voices talking over each other instead of listening to the Holy Spirit with the gentleness and love and compassion that ought to be a part of their lives. You see, the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to live our lives in a way that reflects the very love of God. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to live our lives in a way that shadows or mirrors the love that we have seen in Jesus Christ. God alone is Lord of the conscience. But you have to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to your conscience in order to allow God to be the Lord of your conscience. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do give you thanks for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who touches our hearts, who speaks to our consciences, and helps us to see how it is that we can reflect your love in this world, how we can reflect your light in this world of darkness. We ask, O Lord, that your Spirit would guide and direct our every step so that people might not see us, but see you within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.